Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the South Bay Show, South Bay Spotlight, on September 13th, 2018. Live, love, laugh, and leave a legacy. That's what we do here in the South Bay of Los Angeles, and it's a beautiful place to do just
the
that.
The South Bay Show is brought to you by the Academy of Foreign Languages. If you have any interest in learning a new language or brushing up on existing language skills, you should know about the Academy of Foreign Languages. Located in Palos Verdes, the Academy of Foreign Languages specializes in the art of communication. Their mission is to provide the finest language instruction possible. They recognize that each student has distinctive needs and craft their teaching technique to optimize an individual's particular learning skills. At the Academy of Foreign Languages, they strive to create a comfortable environment conducive to learning. So whether you're learning a new language or would simply like to converse in your native tongue, the Academy of Foreign Languages can accommodate you. For additional information, visit their website at academyofforeignlanguages.com, that's all spelled out, or call 310-975-4133.
I'm your host, Joe Terry, and you can read all about our many adventures on Facebook at facebook.com/ The South Bay Show. Persistence, passion, principle, and purpose, that's what we talk about here on The South Bay Show. And of course, I'm not alone because of our great partnership with South Bay by Jackie.com and executive producer of The South Bay Show, Jackie Balestra. Hey, Jackie, how are you doing today?
I'm back. Back in the saddle.
You got to know when to hold them, and you got to know when to fold them.
Yes.
Where were you?
I was up in Montana last week, just outside of Kalispell, Montana. A girlfriend and I went up, my friend Missy, and we went up for a week of poker with the world famous Todd Brunson, professional poker player. He does this event every year, you can come in, you can spend a week playing poker with really, really good poker players. So I was up there, but I switched it up a little bit. I didn't play poker all day. I fished during the day, and then I played poker at night. So it was a terrific. It was a last minute little vacation thing. You know, she called me just a couple of weeks ago and invited me to go to this thing, and I jumped at it, and we had gorgeous weather, absolutely gorgeous weather. It couldn't have been more perfect. No high winds or anything like that, you know, which for fly fishing is kind of a nightmare. I had a terrific time, caught some gorgeous fish. Oh my goodness. I'm sure you saw some of the pictures and video I posted, on Facebook. So that was terrific. There are a couple of things I want to mention here. While I was gone last week, our new executive producer, Ryan Razan, sat in for me. He did a terrific job. I listened to most of the show. This is his first official. This is going to be great because him and I will be able to cover for each other now, you know, in the past we've run around trying to find guest co-hosts, you know, when one of us is out of town or busy. So, welcome Ryan, we're so excited to have you on. And I don't know if we've mentioned it, on air before, but we are going to be adding two new shows to our South Bay Show stable, which Ryan is gonna executive produce. We're gonna be doing a show on Tuesday and a show on Wednesday. One is going to be on the law, you know, legal stuff. We have a professional attorney that is going to be talking the law, you know, which is very exciting.
Right.
You always learn something from that. And then we're gonna have another one, which is gonna be a financial credit show. So that's very exciting. So that will be happening soon. So I wanted to mention that. And you'll love this. Yesterday I attended the Women of Distinction luncheon. It's the 66th Assembly. Assembly member Al Muratsuchi. He does this every year, and I was invited to it this year. And you know me, I pulled Al aside and I was like, hey, Al, you going to do the show? And he was like, oh, yeah, he said, definitely, definitely. So, I have a promise from him. We're going to get him scheduled to be our guest on this show. So, you know me, I'll corner anybody, any chance I get, you know. But it was a terrific luncheon. There were six women honored yesterday, and the woman of the year, Mayor Amy Howarth from Manhattan Beach. Mm-hmm. And I posted some pictures of that on Facebook yesterday. So congratulations, ladies. Boy, talk about a bunch of accomplished women and women that make things happen. I mean, you know, just so impressive, you know. So that was fun. That was good.
Speaking of making things happen, what?
Mm-hmm.
Go on.
Oh, one other thing I want to mention this, get this out there right now. There is an event coming up. It's called the Fall Fashion Harvest. It's on Saturday, September 22nd from noon to 3 p.m. at Morgan's Jewelers on Hawthorne Boulevard in Torrance. Our friend, Kachita Hines, offered me two free tickets to give away. And then just yesterday or the day before, she contacted me. There was going to be an admission fee, but they changed it. Now it's a free event. But these two tickets that we can give away today will get you into the raffle. So you know they're going to be giving away a bunch of stuff and a big raffle. So we're going to be giving those away. So if anybody wants those two tickets to Fall Fashion Harvest, give us a call 714-242-5288. First person that calls in gets the tickets. And I think that's all the news I have. What's up with you?
Well, first of all, I just want to reiterate, we've been to some of Kachita's events. My wife and I went to an event. We were lucky enough to get one of her swag bags, and my wife was excited about that swag bag for months afterwards. I mean, there were other things in there, gift tickets and so forth. So you really want to get these tickets because you really want to get this if you can win the raffle, it's going to be very, very good for you. So it's 714-242-5288. First caller wins these tickets. And what's her website again, Jackie?
Style on the Spot. Style on the Spot.
Style
she does a bunch of stuff for
spot.
South Bay. She sends me the info. I always post it. Fun events. She's a fabulous, fabulous gal.
Right.
And it's right. You'll experience VIP shopping. You know, this is at Morgan's Jewelers.
Right.
You're going to get a sneak peek at Trina Turk's fall fashion trends, Marco Bichego trunk show, delicious cocktails by Drake, seasonal bites, chances to win huge giveaways, and a Pinterest-worthy do-it-yourself project. And attendees are encouraged to donate accessories to Dress for Success. All right, so that's a great organization. So, you know, you make sure that the items are in good condition and business appropriate.
Yeah.
They're asking you to bring gently used purses, jewelry, shoes, belts. And there's going to be a separate giveaway for everybody, all attendees that contribute to the Dress for Success. So, and you'll get a tax deductible letter. So, it's all good.
This one picture on Facebook. It's a king high straight flush.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, I would love to have that. Tell me the story of this hand.
Well, you know what? I'm trying to remember. I don't remember that one. There were a couple
King
of
high,
crazy ones.
Spade straight flush. Spade.
Okay, well, I actually had an even better one that I didn't get a picture of where I had an ace high flush.
But not a straight flush.
No, that wasn't a straight flush.
Wasn't...
But I had an ace of spades in the hole, and three spades came up, and I had two spades, so I knew I had it, and I knew I had the ace. So even if somebody had the king of spades, they weren't going to beat me. So that was one of those games. I knew I was going to win it because there were no pairs showing or anything. Nobody could beat me at all. I knew that. So that was a great game. But the best one. Was the first night we were playing. And, you know, there's 10 people at the table, right? And I had an ace king in the hole. And I was betting pretty aggressively because an ace and a king came up on the flop, and everybody folded except Missy and I. And Missy and I went head-to-head, right? Head-to-head.
Yeah.
As I said, very aggressive betting. And
did
both
someone
like, okay,
actually
well,
shove in at the end? All in?
No. Well, no. We both ended up doing that. You want to know something funny? We had the exact same card. We both had ace-king. I think I took a picture of that one, too. And I was like, oh, my God. That, you know, so, of course, we split everything. But that was
yeah.
that was a,
chop,
and I, it
chop.
Was so much fun. It was so much fun because it was just her and I, you know, there were eight guys at the table and it was just her and I going head to head. And we came up with the exact same cards and we were like, you know, that was fun. It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. There were some good hands. Yeah. Anyway,
that's fantastic.
Enough about my poker adventures.
We have a fantastic guest who has a history in Torrance that few officials, city councilmen, otherwise can really attest to. And it's not just his business acumen, his great business in Torrance, but it's his service to the community, and in particular, small businesses. I first met this gentleman as a member of the United Small Business Alliance, USBA, and what a great organization. Since I'm now a working stiff, I'm not pursuing my small business currently, but it's just an amazing organization, has helped so many people. We have to find out, Jackie, who's our guest today?
Our guest this morning is newly elected Torrance City Council member Aurelio Matucci. Now, Aurelio was elected to the Torrance City Council on June 5th, 2018. He currently serves as chair of the Transportation Committee and as a member of both the Strategic Plan Committee and Citizen Development and Enrichment Committee. Prior to his council election, Aurelio served as vice chair of the Social Services Commission and as a board member of the Torrance Rose Float Association. He has been an active participant in the community as a Torrance Police Department Neighborhood Watch Captain, founder of the United Small Business Alliance, and a board member of New Challenge Ministries, a local food bank. Now, this morning, we're going to discuss several hot topics with Aurelio, including the local coyote problem, shared mobility devices, illegal dumping, homelessness, and a lot more. Welcome back to the program, Councilmember Matucci, and congratulations on your election win.
Thank you so much, guys. It's always a pleasure coming back to the show.
This is very special, but let's go at it this way, because it's the struggle, the hunt that I think a lot of people are fascinated with. Was this, how many times had you run for city council before this win, Aurelio?
I just ran, the first time I ran was in 2014. There were 16 candidates. I came in ninth place. It was tough because I really had no idea what I was doing, campaigning. And you know, being a small business owner, you kind of try to do things your way. It didn't quite work out. But then 2016, I skipped because I really liked the candidates we had running. So I figured why mess up their chances. And all three of the candidates that the USBA and myself endorsed won. And so I was happy about that. Then 2018, I still did things my way, but this time I won.
You know, it's interesting. It's interesting because I just learned that I learned this a couple of elections ago. I didn't know that when you're running for an elected office, apparently name recognition is like the most important thing. Like a lot of people I know throughout the South Bay that have run for local city council, school boards and stuff, the first time they get out there, they generally don't win. But by the next round, the next time they get up, people have heard the name. Does that follow true for you, Aurelio?
I would think name recognition has quite a bit to do with it. But I think what really took me over the what really took me over the edge was the message and the way we spearheaded the issues. We didn't beat around the bush on anything. If we said no coyotes, we meant no coyotes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so issues like that. If we actually really looked and dissected our campaign, it was all about upfront as to what we're going to do. And it just so happened that the majority of people agreed with me.
It's a play right out of the Trump notebook. Make a promise and actually follow through with it. But you know something, Aurelio.
Well, not everybody's going to look at it that way, but yeah, I agree. I mean, I just wish politicians would actually at least try to do what they said they were going to do.
Yeah, it's a new concept, right? Oh, we're going to do this and this and this, and a lot of the times it doesn't get done. But since you mentioned the coyotes, right up, we're going to go with that right up front, because I saw a video on Facebook the other day of a coyote eating a cat on a front lawn in the middle of the day. Have you guys
seen that video? That's actually, I was able to share it on Facebook, and it's getting a lot of attention, but there's, you know, it just so happened to be that somebody was there with a camera, but incidents like this are in the hundreds in the South Bay. That's one thing we need to keep in mind, that this is not just an isolated incident. It happens all the time. And, you know, I mean, most people that own cats know that it's really hard to keep a cat indoors all the time. Mm-hmm. You can't really put a leash on a cat. So it's one of those things to where, what do we do now?
Well, why – does anybody know why all these coyotes are – I know it's not suddenly. I know they've always been around, but it seems like there's a huge influx of them. Is it development that has taken place over the last couple of years that are driving them out of their what was their habitat? Why so many coyotes now?
Well, these aren't the same generation. I don't know if you want to call it a generation of coyotes that used to be here maybe 100 years ago. Most of Torrance, I can only really speak for Torrance because I really know more of the history of Torrance than the rest of the South Bay. But most of Torrance was built in the 50s, and we didn't have coyotes here in the 50s. We may have had a few stragglers here, but coyotes are a species of opportunity. They'll go anywhere that has a meal, and sounds familiar, you know. So like more like my family, right? But where if there's a meal, they're coming over. That's it. No, but you know, yeah. So coyotes, yeah. You know, the argument that we're here before us, I think it falls short of real facts, because if we actually just, you know, my family moved to Torrance in 1977. We never spoke about coyotes. You never found body parts of cats and dogs around town like the way we do today. I mean, it was unheard of. And yes, there were coyotes. Coyotes used to live up in the rural areas of maybe Rancho Palosverde, Rolling Hills. And they kind of stayed in their area because they had enough food there to live and thrive. But what happened, at least from the research that I've done, is that a lot of cities have been threatened by organizations that are pro wildlife, which, by the way, I'm not against wildlife, but it just so happens that we're not in the wild. See, if we were surrounded by national forests, then I could understand. Look, these creatures are coming in and snatching up our cats and dogs and hurting a few children here and there and possibly killing a couple of humans once in a while around the world. But it's a rare occasion that they hurt people, but it does happen. But look, let's look around us. You know, we're surrounded by city against city among city. So if we actually go just back in history one decade, we couldn't have possibly built enough to create this problem. So what's happening is that they're procreating, they're multiplying in big numbers, so they need more territory. Coyotes are territorial. So you have a litter, and that litter starts expanding and expanding and expanding. And that's really what I think what we're seeing here is just a massive, increase of their particular numbers. Now, the average lifespan is what? It's about between 7 and 10 years of a coyote. So, yeah, these coyotes are born, bred and born here and raised here in the city. So they're not afraid of people. They're not afraid of noise. They're truly urban coyotes. They're truly urban coyotes. They did not move here from the wild, and we did not displace them. They were born here.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Native, they're native Taurinians?
They're Taurians. They got citizenship and everything.
They're frisky. We got some frisky coyotes that keep multiplying. Yeah, constituents.
Constituents, yeah.
Yeah. So what can be done? I mean, when looking at an issue like coyotes, what can be done since these are wild creatures and they're going to be difficult to contain?
Well, they're not that difficult to contain if every city did what they were supposed to do, what they used to do, which was trap and euthanize. I know it sounds harsh, but just like in nature, you can't have one creature be a dominant species and multiply at the rate that the coyotes do. It's just not good for the balance of nature. Now, you know, one could argue that they have every right to live, and they do, okay, just not in Torrance, just not in the South Bay. I mean, we are not a rural countryside town. We basically one house after another. What do you think they're going to eat? You know, this whole coexistence thing, we tried it, okay? It's been a couple of years that we've implemented this coyote management. I call it more of a project because it's ongoing. And, you know, hazing, that's all part of the project. That's all part of the plan. It's not working. And the numbers show that it's not working. We have hundreds of household pets that have been literally slaughtered. We should treat coyotes the same way we treat a stray dog. You trap it. You take it off the street. I mean, that's just they're more dangerous than a domesticated pet, and by all means. They're a living creature. They have every right to live, just not in an urban setting to where public safety is affected so drastically. People aren't able to take a walk out in the evening because they're afraid of being attacked by coyotes. I mean, for God's sake, where does it stop? You know, and it stops here.
Right.
We have a huge, huge group of individuals that want these gone. Every poll that we've done, we have one poll on Facebook alone that has over 1,100 votes. 84% want trap and removal of coyotes. 84% of over 1,100 votes. And that's just one of the many polls that we've taken. We've taken several. Mm-hmm. Nextdoor. I'm sure you're familiar with the app Nextdoor.
Mm-hmm.
Several
mm-hmm.
polls on
sure.
Nextdoor. All of those are above 70% want trap and removal. And by state law, removal is euthanization because there is no relocation allowed. And I'm sorry, but public safety to me is more important than a coyote at this point.
Yeah. You know, I want to tell you guys something. We used to have a home in Mammoth Lakes. When we lived up there, we didn't live up there. It was a second home, so we were up there a lot. But when we first bought the house, there were over 300 bears living in town, and the population was smaller than when we bought that house. The population was about 4,000 people, and there were over 300 bears living in town because people were like the same thing you were saying, Aurelio. You know, let's coexist and stuff. And what ended up happening, they were eating at the dumpsters, they were living under buildings, and it got to the point where it became very, very dangerous. They tried to coexist, and it became very dangerous. They brought in a specialist to remove the bears, without killing them. So rubber bullets, air horns, all this stuff. And he was very successful. He, those bears, they were city bears. You know, they were born in the town of Mammoth Lakes. You know, they weren't born in the wild. Same situation with the guy here. And he was able to very successfully get these bears to realize that you're not welcome here without having to put any of them down.
I mean, obviously, putting down animals is not my first choice, but we don't really have – our hands are tied when it comes to the law.
Coyotes aren't bears. They're not. They're, it's not the same thing. I don't know that an air horn or rubber bullets are going to scare them off. But,
and they don't have the Mammoth Lakes mountains to retreat to.
Right.
Whereas
retreat.
The bears
exactly.
around Mammoth Lakes.
Yeah, exactly.
They could retreat
you
up the mountains
one thing
and
I
live their life.
I'm sorry. One thing I want to mention is, you know, a lot of these animal rights organizations, you know, they're really protecting coyotes like as they're the like as you know this sublime species. I mean, they're beautiful animals. I get it. But what about the you know the almost 4 million household pets that get put down in shelters every year? How come they're not protecting those? You know, I mean, is it because human contact has spoiled their beauty? I mean, that's what I don't really get. There's a certain sense of hypocrisy here that almost 4 million a year get put down. They put to death. And a lot of these are kittens, you know, cats. I mean, what can they possibly be doing wrong to be put down? I say stop the euthanization of household pets like cats and dogs. Expand the efforts of adoption, which, you know, a lot of organizations, they do push for adoption, I got to say. But, you know, what about those 4 million that get put down a year?
Yeah.
I mean, if we can put down 4 million cats and dogs a year, why aren't we putting down 4 million coyotes to keep it, you know, a level playing field? Because let's face it, we are infested in the last 5 years from coyotes. We have a coyote infestation in really all of America. It's the same problem. The only difference is some states got it right. They put a bounty on the county on the head of a coyote, you know, because they become a pest. They've become a pest. And look, again, I'm not one that my first choice is to kill them, but there are just too many of them. They've become dangerous when they roam around in packs. They have attacked children. They have killed children. You know, when somebody could argue, well, it's a rare occasion. How many occasions do you need before you take action? Isn't one child enough to take action? What's the magic number? Is it 100 cats and dogs that get killed to take action? Is it 1,000? You know, come up with a number, a magic number. Well, you know, at 10,000, we'll start taking action. Well, you know, 9,999, we won't. You know, we need to be really, cities need to, first of all, put their big boy pants on and stop being intimidated by organizations that are, pro-coexistence. Hey, I'm all for coexistence, just not in Torrance, okay? Not in urbanized cities like Torrance. It just doesn't work. And it's proven that it doesn't work. In the last 2 years, we've had more and more incidents, and these coyotes are getting more and more violent. They are stalking people that are jogging, even without pets. I mean, there was a country singer that got killed by coyotes. And this, of course, it's up in the trail. It's in the wilderness. You know, one can say, you know, she asked for it, whatever, because, you know, she's without whatever. Either you're in the wilderness. You're something's bound to happen in the right circumstances, okay? But they do attack humans. And they're not scared of you raising your hands, you know, saying booga booga. It just doesn't work anymore. Okay, these are urbanized coyotes. They could care less about you making noise. They're used to it already.
The hour's flying. So let's do a real quick station break, and then let's get back. We got a lot of other stuff we got to talk about, Joe.
Yes, we do. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the South Bay Show, and we're having an amazing discussion with Aurelio Matucci, Torrance City Council member, newly minted June 5th of this year, and he's got things he wants to talk about. He's got things he wants to listen. He wants to work with the community. He's really interested in cleaning up the city. and getting rid of the trash and beautifying the city, and of course this coyote problem we've been talking about. But there's more coming. Aurelio has a beautiful family, is really focused on the future of the city, and we are thrilled to have him. And of course, we're giving out those tickets. 714-242-5288. 714-242-5288. We're going to give away tickets to Katita's next event. It's is it thestylespot.com?
Style on the Spot is hosting the Fall Fashion Harvest. Style on the Spot is hosting
Style
Fall Fashion
on
Harvest.
On the Spot.
At Morgan's Jewelers.
At Morgan's Jewelers. So call in. We'll talk soon. All right. That was the station break.
That was the station break. Okay, we're back. All right, Aurelio, let's talk about these shared mobility devices. There's different ones. There's scooters, there's bikes, they're dockless. The dockless ones are causing all the problems in several of our South Bay cities. What's going on with that?
Well, what's going on with that? In Torrance, we put a temporary ban on shared mobility until we figure out really what's going on. Shared mobility, I get it, but it's a scooter, most of the time, or a bicycle. For God's sake, if you can't afford to buy a bicycle, use bicycle for $50, for God's sake. Why should we really just litter our sidewalks with rental equipment? And where does it stop? Do you give one company permission and not the other? So if it's Lime Bike, you're not going to give it to the other company or the other companies. Public right-of-ways, such as sidewalks and streets, should not be used for the general commerce, in my opinion. Storing of rental equipment on sidewalks, to me, is not an option. That's just me. Okay, I understand the convenience for some individuals that they want to go from point A to point B with an electric scooter in the middle of Crenshaw Boulevard, which by law they're not supposed to, but they ride up there anyways. It's dangerous. There's no helmet laws that are being enforced. These electric scooters, from what I read, they go approximately 14 miles per hour, which you can do some damage. People have been killed already. It's a new program, and people have already been struck by cars and killed. And one could argue, yeah, but people get struck by cars and killed every day. So what's the difference? Well, the difference is, why look for trouble? You want to get from point A to point B, jump in an Uber, jump in a Lyft car, jump in a bus. But, let's not put a whole bunch of electric scooters dumped everywhere around the city. That's just not... To me, it's not a solution for transportation. For goodness sake, it's a solution for a couple of people to get go a couple miles, if that.
Well, I know that several cities. I know that Manhattan Beach, El Segundo, I guess, was the first in the South Bay to have them. And apparently, I think it was Bird. I could be wrong. It might be Lime. I can't remember which one, but one of these scooter companies literally came to town and just dumped off all of these scooters. And I've seen it. They are literally littering the streets. People just throw them down in the middle of the sidewalks, in front of buildings. They're all over the place. And talk about littering the streets. They are a hazard. You could trip over one of them. They get in the way. You're walking down the street and with a baby carriage or a cart or something, and they do litter the streets. And then El Segundo said, out of here. Manhattan Beach spoke. I know the city council of Manhattan Beach spoke to a couple of those companies, and I think it was Steve Napolitano had the best line. He goes, "You come and dump those in our cities, you're going to find them at the end of the pier." So they put a ban on them for now, or a moratorium or whatever. And now Torrance has. Now, let me ask you something. You seem to be focusing on the danger of them, and I saw that firsthand. I was in Manhattan Beach a couple of weeks ago, driving down Manhattan Beach Boulevard, and I saw a young girl, a teenager, maybe 15 or 16, standing up on this with a younger kid, maybe 9 or 10, sitting on the scooter in the street, no helmets, very, very dangerous. You mentioned that they're not enforcing the helmet laws and all that. But how would you feel about – and the biggest problem that everybody's having with this is – one of the biggest problems is that they're dockless, whereas many, many cities have those like city bikes, and they have racks. And so would you feel the same way if they were docked, if there were places throughout the city, stations where scooters or bikes – actually had a docking space where you had to pick them up at the docking space and return them to the docking space? How do you feel about that?
I'm completely opposed to anything that gets stored on our sidewalks.
Okay.
And the reason being is that, again, where does it stop? And it also doesn't take away the fact that they're going to be taken off the dock and driven down the street at 14 miles per hour in the middle of traffic, because you can't ride them on the sidewalk. And they have been riding them on the sidewalk, and nobody says anything. So, to me, it's just like the – I don't know if you remember the Cars to Go. You know, the Cars to Go,
right,
is how to go.
Right.
I mean, they're storing rental vehicles on the street when other people that live there and pay taxes can't find parking. And here you have – in Torrance, we had, I think, about 480 cars or something like that. Dumped on our city streets when we can't even find parking of our own. So, yeah, I do have a problem with you know, I'm a pro-business guy, but you want to rent scooters, rent yourself. I'm not saying scooter rentals should be illegal. You rent yourself a little storefront, put some scooters in there, helmets to go along with them, elbow pads, whatever the law says that we're supposed to have, and make sure that people follow their laws. But again, you know, electric scooters in the middle of the street, like ANZA, it's a death sentence, a death wish.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, it's just, mm-hmm. I mean, that is just not a replacement for transportation. If you think electric scooters are going to replace cars, then I don't know. I don't know what kind of future anybody would envision our country to be. A bunch of electric scooters going around, going where? I mean, my wife works downtown L.A. in the courthouse. How can an electric scooter replace transportation? She would have to go on an electric scooter to a bus stop or a train station. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's just completely ridiculous. And if you really, truly want an electric scooter, buy one. You can buy them used online for about $80 to $150. And buy yourself one and go around with your electric scooter if you truly, really want an electric scooter. You know?
Okay. Now we know exactly how Aurelio feels about shared mobility devices. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll give
you
a piggyback ride. That's a shared mobility.
All right. So another one of your biggest issues, because you post about this all the time, is the illegal dumping that's been going on. I don't know if this is a new issue, or I think it's been around forever, but I'm getting the impression it's getting, or maybe it's just because you're bringing it to our attention. What can be done about that? I mean, if you see somebody doing that and you get a video or a photograph and, you know, go to the police station and say, this guy was dumping this sofa, you know, by what can you do about that, Aurelio?
Well, according to the Torrance Police Department, I can't speak for every other agency. Unless you catch them, they catch them doing that. A video and a photo will not do, because they could argue, well, we got permission, or we did this, or you know, or oh no, that was just temporary. We're going to pick it back up. You know, whatever. Whatever case is, they're not going to be able to prosecute, supposedly. I don't know. You would think a video of them doing it with a license plate and everything, you can possibly identify them. That could be enough to prosecute, but I guess not. I don't know. Maybe they just don't have the time or patience to do it. You know, this is not a problem that's new. It's been ongoing for many, many years. And so really the beginning of civilization, I think people just dump their trash on other people's properties. But I don't think there's just one way to approach it. I think it has to be multiple ways. You have to attack it from all sides. One is to pick it up and get it disposed of. And a lot of people, you know, I shouldn't say a lot of people, a certain percentage of people, when I say this, they say, well, you know, it shouldn't be our responsibility. We pay taxes and we do things the right way and we're paying for other people. And I always bring up the example of my theory behind this. We are taxpayers, yes, and we are paying for bad people, and it's called the jail system. It's called our state penitentiary. You know, we are paying for them to be housed. So how's that any different than us paying to pick up other people's trash? I mean, trash affects all of us. So if nobody does anything, then it affects 100% of the people. If we do something, then it affects only the people that really are paying into the system, right? But bottom line is you want to get it done. So what Torrance has done, we put together a pilot program with a vendor. I believe they're out of Gardena. And they basically gave us a toll-free number. If I hope you don't mind me sharing that toll-free number, it's 1-855. Okay, yeah, so it's 1. So in other words, if you are within the city of Torrance, now remember, east of Western, that's Torrance PO, so they do not pick up in Torrance PO. It has to be within the city of the legal city of Torrance. If you're within the city of Torrance and you see illegally dumped trash, whatever it is, refrigerators, couches, mattresses, or just, you know, construction material that just got dumped on the side of the road, happens all the time. Individuals, you don't have to be a resident or business owners. If you're just driving through Torrance, call 1-855-685-2767. Give them the location, and they'll usually pick it up within 48 hours. So that's a pilot program we put together. It's costing the city approximately about $80,000, which is, in my opinion, nothing. It's just a drop in the bucket to try to keep the city clean. They have been doing a great job, I got to say. If they say we're going to be there within 48 hours, they come and pick it up. We also have a graffiti application, and the reason I'm mentioning this is because on the graffiti app, it's called Torrance Graffiti. You just look it up on your phone, on your device. Download it. You can actually report not just graffiti, which we don't have much of for a really good reason. It's because of this organization, this company that goes out and cleans it right away. But you can also report shopping carts, which has been such a huge problem, at least for me. You know, some people don't think of trash or shopping carts or coyotes as a problem. I see it as a problem. I personally see it as a problem, and I want to try to fix it. Now, if I'm not successful at fixing it, I'm just going to keep on trying to fix these things. But you download the app, you can report not only graffiti, but you could also report shopping carts, and it's super easy. It takes me literally 10 seconds. Everything's automated. It's satellite positioning, so you don't have to sit there and try to look for a location. You snap a picture, it maps out where you are, and you're done. And usually within 24 hours, 48 hours, they get picked up. I mean, this is these are great resources that people just need to start using. It's all there. It's already paid for. Let's use it. That's what I always say. Use it.
Get involved. It couldn't be any easier.
Oh, no, it doesn't get any easier. No, it does not get any easier.
Snap a picture of that graffiti or that shopping cart, and the GPS does it all for you, and a company magically comes out and cleans it up or puts it up.
Oh, my God,
that.
It's done, yeah. We don't have, and you don't have to wait months, you know. You know, most cities have that. You know, you go to L.A., they got the 311, you know, you just dial the number 311, and, you know, sometimes it takes 3 weeks, 6 weeks to come out, but at least they do come out. It's just getting enough people to care enough to at least pick up the phone. You know, there's certain process you have to go through. And look, some people are just pigs. They could care less about your city. Some of them live here, some of them don't, but they'll just dump everything in a dark alley. Not even a dark alley. My gosh, they dumped a mattress set on Lomita Boulevard. I mean, this is not a dark alley. just dump it out their truck. That's it. Done.
You know, I remember growing up, I believe it was in the early 70s, there was a PSA that ran for a long time of a Native American standing on the side of the road and people are driving by and literally throwing
trash.
Right?
I remember that.
You remember that? You know, keep America beautiful.
I do. It was like
in
the 70s, yeah.
Yeah, I think early 70s. And it did
and
happen.
He would cry or something, right?
Yeah. He had the lone tear going down his face because people were trashing his native land. But that PSA really had a big impact. It was like, you know, people used to do that, man. People used to just throw. They didn't even think about it. They just walking down the street. They throw stuff on the street. They would throw stuff out of their cars. They would throw stuff out the window. You know, I mean, there was a real issue until we were educated that hey, don't do this anymore. And it had an effect. It had an effect. Now, I mean, God, I would feel so guilty if I threw something out of a car window. You know, I would feel guilty about it. You know.
Get in the left turn lane of almost every street that has a light. Okay.
Yeah.
Almost every intersection that has a street light turning in left. Look at the ground. You'll see cigarette butts and trash all the time. Even in Torrance. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you go right outside my house right now, you'll see cigarette butts on the left hand turn lane. It's just amazing. It still amazes me that people are still flicking their cigarettes out the window. You know, I mean. I don't get it. What
not
to
mention,
I mean, I know
not
cars
to,
nowadays they don't even come with the ashtrays anymore.
Ashtrays anymore? I know. Yeah, that's true. But maybe it's time to bring back those public service announcements because apparently this generation doesn't remember the ones that we do. I mean, we grew up with it. Maybe it's time to bring it back. You know, and get it out front and center. Maybe we don't have to. Go
I mean,
back
I'm
to the
teaching
Native,
my kid. My kid's 7 years old. I teach him to pick up trash. I teach him to not throw trash on the ground. I mean, it goes in the trash, and recyclables go in the recyclable. I mean, we all have to do our part. But when you see trash, when you see illegally dumped stuff, pick up the phone. Use the resources. You know, they're there. We're not a third world country. We have all the money that needs to be. It's already paid for. Use it. More people need to get involved. You know, you got that house on the block that has the big weeds. You know, knock on their door and say, hey, is there something going on that you can't do it? Because we'll be more than happy. The community should come together and help out those in need, because a lot of times you'll knock on the door and you'll notice that they probably just can't. You know, they can barely afford to pay the rent or barely afford to pay the mortgage. So, you know, find out what the situations are and get the community together to help each other out. If you see it from the street, it becomes really just public responsibility. That's my opinion. What you do inside
now,
your
now,
house,
Aurelio,
you know,
what you do is wonderful, but you don't often talk about philosophically why this is important. Like, you know, studies have shown in Watts and in Brooklyn and in other places, studies have shown that when you clean the streets, when you put up murals and beautify a neighborhood, people start taking pride in their neighborhood.
Pride.
Crime
pride
drops.
And ownership. Yep.
All kinds of things change. Kids get better grades in school. Just walking back and forth from school and seeing the neighborhood looking better gives kids a better outlook on their future. It's amazing what beautification can do in a community. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, over 40% of property taxes go to our schools. You know, so if you really want to help schools, you need to try to maintain and increase property values. That's the best way to get revenue to the schools. And people don't understand the economics behind it and the philosophy behind it. You know, I remember, I know this sounds like a campaigning thing, but I do remember a time that when you drove into Torrance, you knew exactly you were in Torrance. You could visually see the difference between the LA Strip and Torrance. I mean, you just drove, and it's like, boom, all of a sudden the streets are smooth, the curbs are nice and clean, the trees are trimmed, the properties are well kept. And right now, it's just a blur. I just see a blur. You drive into past Western, and it's just the same thing as the city before us.
And
that's
going
to change, and we need to change it. We need to change it.
You know, Aurelio, you're so right on point there, because there are certain spots where you know you've just crossed into L.A. County. You know it, because the sidewalks are cracking, the trees haven't been trimmed in 2 decades. Yeah, there are plenty of places like that. And by the way, I just wanted to mention, I mentioned earlier in the show that I was at the luncheon for the Women of Distinction for 2018. They held it in downtown Torrance at the Chato Tea Room. Let me tell you something. Downtown Torrance is booming. People were out walking, sitting at outdoors cafes, the businesses, the people going in and out. It's thriving. It is thriving. That new ballroom that just recently opened up, you could hear music, people coming in and out. As you walk by, you could see people dancing. Torrance Bakery was doing a booming business, just walking down that El Prado. Downtown Torrance is it's really, really happening these days. It really is. Does anybody care?
I care.
No. I didn't know we needed a commentary on this one, but you really hit the nail on the head on that one.
Yeah. All right. Listen, we're running out of time, but let's talk a little bit about the homeless situation.
I've got to get crowd sound.
The homeless situation in Torrance, because numbers recently came out. They do, a count every year, and I think the numbers have gone up in every city. What's the situation with Torrance?
Well, yeah, I think overall the numbers haven't gone up in all of LA County, maybe slightly. The Torrance has skyrocketed. I think it's almost doubled. And of course, the homeless count, I always wonder how accurate it might be. Is it within 20%, 5%? It's really hard to determine, because a lot of times you could be homeless and you would never tell. I have personal experience with homeless that have been homeless for 7 years, and you could never tell that this individual was the homeless. And until just a few months ago, I realized it. But we got to help people out, but they need to be willing to receive that help. And that's where the biggest obstacle is right now that I see. I was on the Social Services Commission for 2.5 years for Torrance. And that was really one of the biggest obstacles, was getting these individuals into programs, receiving the help, and staying in these programs long enough to where they can get back on track. I hate to say this, but the vast majority, whether it's consciously or subconsciously, they would rather live on the street. They would rather live on the street.
Always going to be a percentage. There's always going to be a percentage of that. Yeah. No, I've seen that too, where you think you're giving somebody assistance, and they don't want to do that. They don't want. What was the phrase you used? Get back on it. They don't want to do it. They don't want to maintain an apartment. They don't want to be in a job. They don't. Yeah. And then of course there's the drug issues and the mental health issues.
Mental health is probably, I think, one of the most difficult one, because we don't have the laws right now.
Right.
I think right now you can really only hold them 72 hours for evaluation. Then what? Measure Triple H, $1.2 billion bond has done nothing. It actually fell short 40% of its goal. It was sold to the voters for 10,000 housing units. This is just for city of Los Angeles, where most of the problems are. It fell short by 40%. Now, any other organization, any other department, if it fell short 40% of its goal, don't you think there would be a massive investigation as to where in the heck is this money being spent?
Yeah. Well,
question.
I read that they just did some they just installed some trailers someplace downtown for the homeless. But it was
$2.5 million. Come on. $2.5 million on a piece of land that's already owned by the city. I mean, who made money on that? For 45 people.
Yeah.
For 45
people,
$2.5 million. Yeah. You could have bought them a condo each.
Yeah.
You know, like in some other state in Florida. I mean, I don't know. But bottom line is
One of the things we hear most often when we have special shows on the homeless is it's not about money. There's plenty of money, but they can't figure out how to spend it effectively.
Well, the money is not even
being spent.
What do you mean they can't? I would have to argue with that because they know exactly what they're doing with the money. Most of that money is going to go towards administrative costs, and that's where
that's government.
They know exactly what they're doing with the money. They're creating just more government, more bureaucracy, more corruption, they can't cure it. If they cured homelessness, if they found a cure for homelessness, they could have never passed Measure H. They could have never passed Measure Triple H. They could have never passed a whole bunch of measures and taxes. Measures are really just taxes. They could have never passed any of this. That's why, think about this. When LA County voted on Measure H, remember the overpasses, what they look like?
They
still look like it. But they made the homeless problem so prominent in our lives that they started shoving people onto state highways. Because they wanted to get them off the street, onto the highways where everybody can see them so that they can pass it. And it did. It passed overwhelmingly. I think almost 70% of the people voted for it. But where's the money going? And why is it 2 years later we haven't seen anything, no improvement whatsoever?
Aurelio.
And somebody could argue, it takes time. How much time does it take to fix a problem?
Let me tell you guys something, all right? This is why you don't want government getting involved in this stuff, because government is not efficient. You know why it's not efficient? Because they're spending our money. It's not their money. You know, if you give me money to spend, I'm going to spend it however I think I should. They're not experts in it. You know, for years I was in the commercial real estate development business, and we enjoyed nothing more. We enjoyed nothing more than getting a government office in one of our buildings, because what would eventually happen is, you know, one branch of government they'd sign a 10-year lease, they'd move out after a couple of years, and they'd still continue paying the 10 years. All right, that's how inefficient government is. All right, we'd be like, oh, the a branch of transportation wants to move into our business park. Fantastic. You know, they don't negotiate leases. They're not efficient at all. Personally, I think the money would be much better spent on the organizations that focus on and specialize in the homeless issue. I know that you work with the New Challenge Ministries, and they do fantastic work.
We run on such a small budget. You'd be surprised how many people we're talking about this year. We're looking at about 300,000 people that we feed on a regular basis, 300,000. And our budget, if you look at our books, you would be amazed. It's mainly all volunteers. The property that we distribute out of is bought and paid for. I mean, we run our budget is literally like in just a few hundreds of thousands a year for 300,000 people. So do the math. $1.2 billion bond, and that's just on one of the measures. You get over $1 billion on Measure H. You're talking about $2.3 billion over the next 10 years to do exactly what? And what's going to happen in 10 years? They're going to ask you for more money. You're going to say, oh, well, 10 years wasn't enough. We're going to need more money, more money, more money. This is not a money thing. It's where are you spending the money, and how effective is this money being spent to fix the problem? The problem is government does not want to fix homelessness. We got to get that in our heads. If they fixed it and found a formula to find a cure to getting people off the streets, then they couldn't tax the hell out of us anymore. That's the problem. That's the problem that I'm
seeing. That's right. Yeah, well, it's
like for the pharmaceutical companies to come up with a drug that,
right.
that cures cancer. My God, they'd be out of business.
Exactly. Mm. All right, look, it's great,
you know,
great
it's
show,
saturous,
Joe.
Saturous.
It is, but we got to wrap it up, Joe.
Right. We got to wrap
guys,
it up.
I can't believe an hour went by. I appreciate you guys so much, man. I really appreciate you guys so much.
Well, this is the first of many, many times. Next initiative that you want to get out there, we'd be thrilled to have you. We're so proud of you. We're our homeboy, Aurelio Matucci, city council member from Torrance, and thank you for joining us. And what is your website and contact information for people to get in touch with you about city matters?
About city matters, I have an email. It's A Matucci, MATTUCCI, at torrancecity.gov. That's my email address. And email is probably the best way. Just everything gets documented. It doesn't get lost in translation. And it also becomes public record. So I think it's the best way to communicate.
All right.
Okay.
Wrap it up, Joe.
Fantastic. Well, thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. And we'll see you next time tomorrow. Who are we having on the show tomorrow, Jackie?
We're going to have a couple of reps from BAMIT, a new app called BAMIT, and we're going to learn about it.
Awesome. Great mobile app to save money, make money. Check it out, BAMIT, BAMIT, BAMIT.com. So get ready, get it downloaded, and we'll all talk about it tomorrow. All right. Thank you, everybody. Bye-bye. Bye, Jackie.
Bye.
Welcome back, Jackie.